Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
From 104.5 The Zone, this is the Midday 180, served up by Wendy's. With Jonathan Hutton, Chad Withrow, and Paul Kuharski.
The inconsistent season and the inconsistent Titans continue. The Titans went to Indianapolis for the AFC South battle, wanting to follow up on that solid performance against the Patriots. A big win on Monday night, 6 days earlier. And instead of executing a solid game plan, they were not competitive at all. Well, welcome. The crew is all here. David Reed is the chairman of the board. We are back from Indianapolis and ready to react with you at 615-737-1045. Guys, what's up?
Frustrating. That's the word that keeps coming to mind when watching this Titans team. Frustrating that you can see performances like Philly, like Dallas, like New England, and then also match that with performances like what we saw yesterday in Indy, Baltimore, Buffalo. It's very odd. The team has a very disproportionate response to wins and losses. And Paul, I know you're going to hit on this. We see a lot of joy after wins with this team. We see a lot of that. And then once things go south, I'm not seeing the same bit of alarm the other way. I don't know if that's good or bad, but it's very much a, boy, everyone was against us, and we showed that we're a team that could win a Super Bowl, and we showed how good we were today after big wins. And then after losses, it's a lot of, yeah, you know, we sucked, but we're on to the next game. I don't know how to take that. It's a very weird team. It's an odd team. I don't think it's a bad team. I don't think it's a very good team. It's a very strange team with their reactions to games and the way they go in and play games. That was a dud of a performance. It was terribly coached, terribly played. There didn't appear to be any logical game plan going into it. It was just an odd day.
I don't think it's a very good football team. I think it could be a good football team on certain weeks. But good football teams don't disappear as frequently as this one does on given Sundays. And we've had this conversation in the other direction, right? We had the big debate about the Cleveland win, where any win is a good win. One thing I didn't get a chance to write about yesterday was there were a lot of guys saying, you know, you lose by 3 or you lose by 33, and it's the same thing. No, it's not. It's not the same if you're out of the game in the first quarter or if you're playing for a last-second field goal. It's not the same. I don't understand why you're saying that, and I don't understand why you're convincing yourself of that. And I don't think that's a very healthy attitude. I don't know if that's coming from the coaches or not, but I don't understand who's convincing you of that. Do we think that's a healthy thing to say? If you lose by 3 or you lose by 33, it's the same difference? Yes, it's the same difference in the standings. It goes down as a loss. But if you feel just as comfortable losing big like you did yesterday and losing on a 2-point conversion fail at the end of the Chargers game, you're mentally not thinking in a logical way.
Here is my biggest alarm that went off yesterday based on what we saw. You come off a Monday night win, and 6 days later you have the biggest win we've seen in a while, and a complete performance by this team. Best performance top to bottom that we've seen. You then turn that into the worst performance we've seen in all three phases combined on the season. As your now what response, you beat New England, and then the following week against Indianapolis, you no show. That's the alarm. It's not just one loss in the column. There's more to it than that, because this, Chad's right, this team is hard to figure out. I know Logan Ryan has told us in past weeks And he said it in the locker room in Indy yesterday. It's time for us to figure out who and what this team is. Right now, we still don't have that answer, and we're in week 12. And what they were last week they were a solid football team, and they beat the standard of the league, and it was no fluke. And then yesterday, they were terrible. They're just terrible. And the ups and downs and the roller coaster ride that is the NFL, and I understand teams and fan bases, that's the league. That's the way the league is built. But what you don't normally see are games like New England followed up by all three phases just looking really bad.
Yeah, this team's playing to extremes. It's the poster boy for the you never know what you're going to get week to week in the league. It's too dramatic.
And that wave of inconsistency, that's what keeps teams out of the postseason.
Yeah, and this, we have to figure out what we are. You can't be saying that in week 10. You can't not know in week 10. It's too late.
What you are right now is an average football team that has dramatic swings of play from week to week. I mean, let's look at the mean of these performances. They're average. They're exactly average. They're the definition of average. They are 5-5. They look great 1 week. They look awful the next. They're an average football team. And I don't know that there's an excuse for them to be average where this roster should be right now.
And I think
based on the progression of what John Robinson is supposed to be doing, there are no excuses to be an average football team right now.
And I think they spin it in their heads a little bit better than they should. Like Adoree Jackson, who took full blame for what T.Y. Hilton did. He said, that's on me. And he said, if that happens in a win, it's terrible. It can't get worse than that. What was it? 9 catches on 9 targets, 155 yards, 2 touchdowns. Said it couldn't have gone worse. This is a week after it goes phenomenally well against Josh Gordon. All right. Completely raises his hand and takes accountability. But in a longer conversation, he says, yeah, it's you know, the whole thing's disappointing, but it's more good than bad. But it's not more good than bad. It's equally good and bad. It's 5-5. It's the definition of the same good and bad in the biggest statistical way. So how could anybody in that locker room say it's the same good and bad? Or Jarrell Casey, you know, Jarrell and I are fine. But I'm talking to him and he says, you know, I'm always confident. You know, I was asking him about, you know, what's it feel like when you guys come in prepared and it goes that way? He says, I'm always confident. And I say, well, do you maintain your confidence when you're getting beat by, what was it, when you're getting beat by 28? You're still confident? No,
it was 38-3 for a large portion of that second half.
So I say, how can you stay the same level of confident when you're getting blown out to that degree? And he said, I'm confident this conversation's over. You know, it was a funny line, and the guys around him laughed. And, you know, we kind of laughed as we finished talking. But, I mean, how could you say you're confident as the conversation's over? I have some serious questions, as you mentioned there, about, like, there's a joy in the locker room when you beat the Patriots, when you beat the Eagles, when you beat Dallas. I'm not asking for them to be throwing chairs and all of that stuff when they lose. And I understand, especially after a blowout, right? They've come to terms with this game being a loss in the second quarter.
They had plenty of time to process it.
They had plenty of time to process it and the cool down period and all of that. But the feel in that locker room after a loss compared to the feel in that locker room after a win is not proportionately, it's not a proportionate response. And that bothers me. And those guys will say, and Logan said, like, you want the story. Right? Those guys think, well, it suits you if we all have steam coming out of our ears. It's a better story for you. Well, it might be a better story for me, but you know what it is also? It's a more human appropriate reaction. Like, well, I don't feel like anybody's tortured by what happened yesterday.
But, Paul, the story to me is how this team handles successes. Because while they have, you mentioned in one of your columns at paulkoharski.com, they handle the success of Monday night. Yes, because they have the standard of the league coming to their city. And they're sitting with an opportunity to get to a game above 500 right there.
Well, the Philly game they handled badly. And they said they were going to handle the Dallas game better, and they handled it better one game. And then so they handled it for one game, and then they fell apart. So they got one game better.
But I asked you pregame yesterday, and in a way, even before kickoff, I felt like yesterday was going to tell us more about this team than the New England win. And I what it does is validate that it's just up and down week to week, and you can't really pinpoint if this team's going to play well or not.
Well, and Hutton, you hit on something that was most alarming to you, which is how do you come off that game and then have that performance of the last two games? My most alarming thing coming out of this game, Marcus Mariota's hurt again. He's hurt again.
Well, that's like item zero on the list of why the implications of this game moving forward are critical to the reaction of the locker room that Paul's responding to, because not only is Logan Logan talking about who and what we are, it's hard to pinpoint what they're going to be at quarterback now, because we don't know the status of Mariota, and we don't know the status of Dean Pease, who had to leave. So
that's a sad deal.
So moving forward, not only do you the possibility is there, just on the field I'm talking about, because his health comes first. On the field, they're looking at their head coach taking over play calling duties. And we know that they don't want Blaine Gabbert throwing the football whenever he's filling in.
May I ask you guys a big question to ponder as we go into the break? When have we ever known what Marcus Mariota is or what his status is moving forward? Mainly because he can't stay healthy for long stretches of time. That's not his fault necessarily, but it is a problem that I don't know how you address it. I'm not going to jump off the ledge and say, boy, you just got to move on from Marcus Mariota, which I'm sure a lot of people are going to say today, and we're going to hear a lot of that. I'm not saying that, but you have to ask these questions. This is now an issue. The guy is hurt again, and it's the same injury from before, we think.
See, I'll follow up your tease by saying, and there's another issue with not just the injury yesterday with him. So we'll discuss that. And take calls.
Non-stop sports talk. Nashville's home for sports is now live and local. Every weekday from 6 a.m. till 6 p.m. The Sports Station, 104.5 The Zone.
Backbender center left. He's dropped. Looks coming. Deep throw right side going for Hilton. And T.Y. has it at the 20. To the 10, to the 5, to the end zone. Touchdown, Indianapolis Colts, 68 yards. T.Y. Hilton gets by Jackson, and the 85th catch of his career of 25 yards or more produces a long touchdown.
His longest touchdown since 2015. T.Y. Hilton had a day, and Andrew Luck, now 10-0. Against the Tennessee Titans. Midday 180 served up by Wendy's. The other quarterback, Marcus Mariota, left right at the end of the first half with an injury, what appeared to be the same elbow and hand and shoulder and arm issue with that nerve. Here's Mike Vrabel post-game discussing Mariota's status.
I asked him how he was on the field, and he said he would be okay. And you know, we made the decision to go with Blaine. You'll have a chance to talk to Marcus. I promise you he'll answer everything about his health. And when I find out more information about it, I'll let you guys know. I'm sure he'll be able to, you know, address those things with that.
What went into your decision?
Oh, well, I just think, you know, making sure that there was an effective way to take care of the quarterback. You know, I think sometimes you get in these games and all our players want to finish the game and they want to compete and they want to they want to fight, and I think that I definitely appreciate that in them. But at some point in time, you know, you have to get some other guys in the game, take a look at some other guys. We did that defensively because to move forward and win, we're going to need everybody. I'm hopeful that we came out fairly healthy, but we have to get back to work quickly and improve.
So, Paul, right there at halftime, is he saying, yeah, we're not going to put him back in because we're losing this game?
I think he's saying we're not going to put him back in because he can get hurt more.
Well,
have to take a look at some other guys. I mean, they've seen Gabbert.
Yeah.
It makes no sense.
I mentioned last night on Channel 5, that interception, if not for Nathan Peterman in Buffalo with some of the picks we've seen from him, Blaine Gabbert's pick was the worst pick I've seen this year.
It looked like he was colorblind. It looked like he thought that he was hitting a tight end settling down in the middle of a zone when he threw it to the linebacker.
To his credit, he blasted himself pretty well.
So did Adoree Jackson. We're saying that Jackson was torched.
I didn't really understand it. I also heard, hey, he told me he was okay in Miami, and I left him in, and he threw two picks.
Yeah, I understand it. I think it's pretty clear what he did. He decided Marcus Mariota didn't have it. And that he was hurting, so he said, I'm not going to keep you out there where you're playing poorly and the game's already pretty much over. And B, I'm not going to risk getting you hurt more. I think that he knows, this goes back to what you said earlier, Paul. He saw something in Mariota that day. It starts on that first drive where he gets sacked and the complete lack of understanding that a blitz was coming. That you had so many guys blocking and there weren't enough guys to block who they had coming on a blitz. And they telegraphed the blitz. His lack of understanding on that, people are going to blame the offensive line. You don't see great quarterbacks taking hits like that and not recognizing the blitz. They're getting rid of it quickly when something like that happens, or they're checking off to something else. I think that was Mike Vrabel saying, my quarterback doesn't have it today. I'm not going to let him stay out there and get killed, continue to get killed in a game that they're not going to win anyways. I think that's what the declaration that he made yesterday.
Before halftime. I mean, that's pretty sad.
But that's the situation they were at that point.
That's my thing with Mariota. I mean, this thing where 10 minutes into the game, he doesn't have it today. It's too much like a starting pitcher, right? If you're Clayton Kershaw and you don't have it today, that's one thing. You're starting again in 5 days and you've got 162 games. If you're a quarterback with 16 games, I can't put up with that. And I wrote about leadership. Hutton was reading this last night. I mean, there are 5 games where he's a complete wash this season. 1 that he didn't play, 2 that he's been hurt in and pulled. 1 where he was under such attack he couldn't do anything against Baltimore. Buffalo, where he was a no-show. I mean, it's half the season where he's just practically invisible. You can't have leadership out of a quarterback where 5 out of 10 games he hasn't shown up.
Well, and also when he's hurt. I mean, that's another issue.
Part of that not showing up being hurt.
It's him not even playing. I'm watching that game yesterday, and I'm going to tie this into Tennessee's blowout defeat at the hands of Missouri. Back-to-back years, they lose 50-17 exactly to Missouri and Drew Lock. I'm watching that game yesterday, and it is depressing to see the difference in quarterback play in both of those games. Marcus Mariota combined with Blaine Gabbert versus Andrew Luck is a depressing reminder of those that have it and those that don't. Andrew Luck looked like a NASA algorithm playing quarterback. He is a robot out there. You do one thing, he knows exactly where to go with it. When you give him time, or he's given time, he's going to make a big play. He was machine-like in that game yesterday. And when you see a data processor like that with him playing, and I thought Drew Lock looked the exact same way against Tennessee. There was no blitz. There was nothing Tennessee could do in that game to affect that guy. He knew exactly where he was going to go, and he put it on the money from the beginning. The only way he doesn't have 4 touchdown passes is because of 2 drops on deep touchdown passes against Tennessee, or deep throws against Tennessee. Watching the difference. Now, the Tennessee Vols game, a lot of that was Keller Christ as the backup, who played all but 2 series of the game, so there should be an enormous drop-off there. But it is alarming to see the difference.
The Titans did not sack him. They did not hit him. There should be shame amongst the defensive front. I didn't sense it yesterday. And you tell me that that's me looking for a story, I'll tell you that I'm looking for some accountability.
Well, there's shame to go around because that secondary that touts themselves highly, and they should, based on the guys back there, they look like the last secondary to face Andrew Luck yesterday. And who was that? Valentino Blake? Remember we went through the guys that Andrew Luck faced last time? They looked exactly like those guys. The line, the pass rush, didn't have a chance because the secondary was giving up open guys so quickly. It worked hand in hand. Neither side played well.
Luck could stand back there on play action and do what he wanted. And you know, going back to the Mariota start, the first drive, they get into Colts territory. Stocker has a pass that was put right there on him, and he drops it on first down. That would have been a nice gain. That
leads to third and eight.
Yeah, that was first down.
I thought it was pretty well defended. He's got to catch it, yes. But it was pretty well defended.
He's got to catch it. That's the standard. Catch the football. And that leads to third and eight, and the Colts showed you on that blitz. They don't blitz very often. They blitz about 15% of the time. But what they did a lot yesterday, they stunted up front on their defensive line. And the O-line never solved that issue the entire game. That's how they got that sack. 615-737-1045, our number. Let's go to Jamie. Hey, Jamie.
Hey, guys. I just want to say this. You know, I'm a Titans fan because a lot of my friends are Titans fans. I actually cheer for the Steelers first. I've cheered for the Steelers since 78. But if this Titans team makes me feel like 10-year-old Jamie on a Friday, not knowing if my dad's going to show up to pick me up. Like, my dad showed up last week, and the Patriots won. My dad didn't show up this week. That's the way I feel week in, week out. They are a mediocre team. And then when you sit there and say that, you know, that they have this game where all three facets of the game are gone, and then the league standard is the Patriots, maybe the Patriots had a complete bad game, and maybe the Titans just woke up one game. But they are a mediocre team. I'm with Paul. I see 5-5 as mediocrity, and because basically you've got a lot of mediocre players.
Well, I think everybody sees 5-5 as mediocrity. 500 is mediocre.
Well, part of it is the if you just go by yesterday's performance for just a one game glimpse, part of it is just the league. Because the Colts beat the Titans, 38-10. The Titans beat the Patriots 34-10. And the Patriots beat the Colts 38-24.
Round we go.
But it's the repetition and the recurring issues that we're seeing with this team with success. And it's not just this season. It's trying to find any momentum at any point in the year and not have to back your way into the postseason.
If they get in the postseason, they're backing in.
Well,
If they're getting in the postseason, I think any Titans fan would take that right now, if whether they're backing in or not, because they're probably going to have to go 5-1 down the stretch.
You know, it was another big thing that they kept saying? We control our own destiny. Now, how do they control their own destiny exactly? If San Diego wins out, if Cincinnati wins out, if Houston wins out, are the Titans really in control of their own destiny? Titans are not in a playoff position right now, so how do they control their own destiny? If the teams in front of them win out, they don't control their own destiny. Who is selling this to them? But where are they getting this?
The teams in front of them can't win if they win. You see what I'm saying?
Well, they're not playing a lot of the teams that are in front of them.
If they play Houston coming up, they will play the Colts the final game of the regular season. If they win on Monday night, they will be one game out of first place in the AFC South, meaning they've swept the season series with Houston. They would need to be a game better over the final month of the season than Houston to win the division.
So they don't control their own destiny, though, because they would still need Houston to lose again at that point. I mean, Paul, you're right. Mathematically, they don't. They win next week. They're still a game behind Houston. If they were to win out, doesn't matter what the Titans
do. I feel like they're saying some things that just aren't true. They're convincing themselves of some stuff. Yeah, you lose by 3, you lose by 25, same thing.
But
we control our own destiny.
But I feel
just saying stuff.
Part of what you're doing right now is overreacting, because we sat here 2 weeks ago and said if they could get to 5-5 after the Colts game, you felt pretty good about the schedule lining up. So it's got to be one or the other.
Well, I felt like at 5-4 that it was time to start taking off.
This was prior to Monday night in Dallas, and we were saying if the Titans got to 5-5 after Indy, and we weren't expecting the win against New England. We were calling Monday night a must win.
Yeah.
That would propel you to where you needed to win in Indy. But the same record sits there right now at 5-5.
Well, here are teams in front of them right now. Indianapolis, who they've lost to. Miami, who they've lost to. Cincinnati.
Right.
Baltimore, who's in, who they've lost to. Chargers, who are in, who they've lost to. Don't tell me you could control your own destiny with that many teams in front of you, many of whom you've lost to. It's nonsense.
It's
whoever's spreading that is a BS artist.
I hope it's not a coach. I hope that's just the players thinking that on their own, not the coach telling them that after the game.
I'll be asking that at the press conference.
Tony Barnhart talks college football with you every Saturday. Presented by Stroud's Barbecue and by Tennessee Steel Haulers. Saturday mornings at 9:15 on 104.5 The Zone.
Titans in the pistol on second down and 7 with 24 seconds to go. Mariota looking. Mariota's going to be sacked again. Back at the 45-yard line. I think we've got a Titan injured here.
That's a quarterback on the ground over there, Mike.
That's Mariota?
Yes.
Mariota is down as he has been sacked 4 times in the first half.
Midday 180 served up by Wendy's. So, the alarming issue, not aside from the injury that is clearly lingering now after it reoccurred yesterday, and you hope he doesn't have to hit the reset button on all of the issues that he had to overcome to get to the level he was playing at going into yesterday. But he was not good in the first half. That interception was so bad. Forcing the ball outside to Jonnu Smith in a zone coverage by Wilson where he just sinks back and sits down, and Mariota threw it right to him. Right to him. And Smith had help. He had coverage over the top, too. It would have taken a perfect throw, and it's a difficult throw in man coverage right there. And Wilson just sat back on that route, sank on the coverage, and picked it off. It was just too simple.
It was a bad play. It was a bad play.
The Titans had no answer to everything that Indy did offensively. Now, field position was flipped on that 51-yard punt return that was called back. It was initially a touchdown. They go down and get points. Indy gets points off of the interception. I believe that was the field goal drive. And then Indy went on a long drive after that. They hit the explosive play for 68 yards. That made it 17-0. And then they go on a long drive to make it 24-0. So it's not just about the field position game on special teams and the interception, because Indy still drove it on the best scoring defense in the NFL. It certainly played a factor, though, in how the game started. And all three phases were really bad. 615-737-1045, our number. We go next to Tony. Tony, welcome.
Yeah, fellas, how you doing?
Great, man.
You know, I might be wrong in my assessment, but when I went to the New England game and I'm sitting there and I'm watching this, as the game went on into the game, my mind went to say, well, dog, they got a plan. And they are really executing this plan. But when I watched the game yesterday, it looked like that they didn't have a plan. It didn't look like they made any type of adjustment. I'm talking about on both sides of the ball. And it looked like they was out there. It was almost like, okay, we beat New England the other day. We can go out here and just win this game on talent. That's what it looks like to me, because nothing that they did looked like they was trying to implement a plan that was in place. Now, I might be wrong, but it just looked like to me they didn't do their homework. I'll put it that way.
Well, Tony, you're not wrong that the plans were bad. Now, let's take the defense out of this, because Dean Pease had a medical episode and wasn't there during the game to call defensive plays. I don't know what Matt LaFleur was attempting to do. Based on what we knew of Indianapolis going into that game and how stubborn they were trying to run it at Indianapolis when yards were there against that secondary, that was odd to me. It was a very strange game plan from Matt LaFleur. Certainly not a good day for him either.
What he wanted to do, my opinion, he wanted to establish the run to bring the eighth man in the box against the zone coverages that they would face in the passing game. And then from there,
never unfolded.
And then from there, Mariota figures out where the gaps are in the zone, where the pockets are to throw. To me, that's what they were trying to set up with the opening drive, with the way they ran it. It never unfolded that
Sometimes you need to pass to set up the run. You got to go in reverse. You got to give up on that. Maybe even quicker than they did. I just thought. I mean, look, it's easy to say, well, they didn't really try. They clearly watched film and tried all week. It was just a poor plan that wasn't executed well.
Michael is next. Hey, Michael.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
Yeah, I just wanted to kind of talk about the offensive play calling in the beginning of the game. We had some success early in running the football, which I think, of course, that always looks good from a fan's perspective. But I think y'all already said it. We needed to, I mean, with Mariota as our quarterback, no matter what game it is, we need to have the pass open up the run. And I get we had some early success. Deion Lewis, I think, had a 12-yard gain. And we need to really start working on some quick hits, some quick dropbacks and dink and dunk football for the first part of it, get the defensive line a little frustrated that they can't get to them. I mean, after the Jonnu Smith, I think it was a fake sweep, you know, and he went out and caught a pass. Everything was just deep dropbacks, and I don't understand that. That, you know, if a defensive line is getting to you, why don't you try to run screens? Why don't you try to do some quick slants? I mean, I just don't really understand the offensive play call because, I mean, I think after the first two possessions, what, Marcus Mariota had, like, four pass attempts? That's not who he is. You can't expect him to do well off four pass attempts in the first two possessions. It's just a complete joke, guys. And I stopped watching after the first half because I was just fed up. Thanks.
Thank you, Michael. If you credit John Glennon on this, if you take out the final two-minute drive at the end of the game, before that possession, the Titans ran 13 plays in Colts territory that leads up to the final touchdown drive. The entire game, 13 plays in Colts territory. Six of those plays, maybe seven, I can't remember now. Six or seven of the 13 plays came on the first possession of the game.
Wow.
Yeah, one good drive.
And then they had three or four three and outs after that.
And the penalties were a problem in this game. This has been a very good penalty team. This was not a very good penalty team yesterday. 8 for 112.
How many unsportsmanlike conducts do they have after it got out of hand? At least two.
8 for 112 and three first downs for the Colts on penalty.
Very undisciplined. I thought it was a team that lost their composure. Jayon Brown had one. They had one on a special teams play. They had at least two in the second half when the game was out of reach.
With the game out of reach, though, does it really matter if you lose your composure?
Like, no, but it's the sign.
I think fans like seeing that fire, that you're upset, that you're getting drummed.
I think fans would like it more if they then went in the locker room and acted like they were upset more.
Well,
it's one thing to you look
the
like
sportsman likes didn't play a factor in the result of that game. Now, if Jarrell Casey jumping off sides did.
Of course not.
On third down and one from the four, that played a factor. That set up first and goal from the two.
I think the unsportsmanlike, though, it's a bad look. I know fans look at it and say, well, at least they're fighting, you know, even if it's after the play. It's a bad look in the NFL, especially when you lose your composure like that. Oh. How many were there? Were there two or three? I know there were at least two. I'll look it up and make sure, but I know there were at least two in the second half.
So you don't want them to do that on the field, but you want them to lose their composure in the locker room.
I don't want them to lose their composure, but I want them to act pissed off. It's one thing to sit there. Here's the problem with this, Hutton. After a win, we get Logan Ryan wearing the MMCNB shirt or whatever it is and praising the secondary
right. When
they destroy New England. And then after a loss, he comes in here and he's a leader on this team. He comes in here and says, well, at least we didn't lose 37-5 to Minnesota. You know, we lost by 1 point and Buffalo beat Minnesota really bad, so it can be worse. Now they're going to come in here tomorrow and he's probably going to say, yeah, you know, we didn't execute. It was a bad game, but it's one game. And we're just going to move on to the next game now. I'm fine with them acting like that if after a win, they're not hooting and hollering. And they're like, hey, it's one game. We got to move on to the next one. No big deal. Not this, you know, we just shocked the world and proved everyone wrong type reaction to it. I think that part gets old. I'm not going to sit there and crush them over the unsportsmanlike conduct. I just think it's a bad look. You look like a team that's not only getting killed, you've resigned yourself to defeat at that point, but you're also throwing a temper tantrum after plays.
Nonstop Sports Talk continues at 2 with the 3HL. Now, back to the Midday 180 on 104.5 The Zone.
Marcus Mariota left with a hand injury, or it appeared as though his hand was bothering him. Amy, I don't see him on the sideline right now.
You're absolutely right. Officially from the team, Marcus has an elbow. His return is questionable, but you're right, Mike. He's not on the sidelines right now, so that's a pretty good indicator.
Okay. Well, it is not going well for the Titans in Indianapolis so far. Let's see if it gets better in the second half.
No, it did not, unfortunately.
Spoiler alert. Didn't get much better.
But we knew it wasn't going to get better. Let's be honest. That was just one of those games.
The writing was on the wall.
Yes. When they hit the 68-yard bomb. So, okay. So when they made it 10-0 and they decided to throw that pass to Andrew Luck instead of allow Andrew Luck, who is carving them up, to keep the football in his hands, I'm thinking, that may come back to bite them.
You were?
Yes.
I was thinking because the Colts defense has not been great.
Paul,
the Titans offense.
You have been so up and down with this team, just like this team has been up and down. So you give me the eyebrow right here saying you were. You're the same way writing about this team, talking about leadership and how they beat the Patriots and going into Indy. My point is, at 10-0, they have the chance to get back in the game. They're getting the football back, and they held them to 3 points after the turnover. You go down and get points, it's 10-7, and if they end up winning by a field goal, those 4 points do matter.
After that first drive, I felt no pulse. They needed CPR. I had zero feel that they were going to do anything.
After that first drive, it was followed up by the interception.
Well, and Paul, you're right, but I would have felt the same way as you if I didn't have that same reaction against Dallas when they started out so sloppy and just looked like they weren't even prepared, and then immediately just were firing on all cylinders the rest of the game.
There was just something in that building.
Something in the air. Something in that indoor air.
Oh, it's something about facing Andrew Luck. Did you have the poll that you put out?
Oh, that was a great question.
And I got killed for that.
We're getting killed for playing clips of the Andrew Luck Book Club podcast.
People have no sense of humor.
Blaming the loss on us for doing this.
Once he took that game over, I put out a poll because I thought it was funny.
It was.
And a good number of people thought it was funny. A lot of other people thought I should
get over the anger of the loss. You'll see it's funny.
Recuse myself from ever covering the Titans again.
Because it was
not serious enough. My God, how could you cover the team and say such a thing? And nobody has been a bigger proponent of Amy Adams Strunk's ownership of this team than I have. She's done a phenomenal job. Still, it's funny during that game, as Andrew Luck is dominating it, to say who's really the controlling owner of the Titans, Amy Adams Strunk or Andrew Luck.
And it's funny.
With 3,200 votes in at this time, Andrew Luck blowing away Amy Adams Strunk, 88% to 12.
It's a funny question.
It's a funny question because they go into the week coming off the playing the way they're playing. And you think, okay, with a little momentum, they're playing this is the best version of the Titans we've seen. The offense is continuing to go up the staircase, right? Up the ladder. This is the time they're going to beat Andrew Luck at Lucas Oil Stadium. And not only do they lose again, there was no chance of winning after
they
the first
got
quarter.
Crushed.
Destroyed.
The NASA algorithm that is Andrew Luck when he's firing on all cylinders just systematically destroyed them. It's like a game of Battleship, which I'm sure Andrew Luck probably went home and played that night. After he played Knights of Catan or whatever the kids are playing these days.
Let's go to Rob next up. Hey, Rob.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. You know, that game was so crazy. You know, like y'all was saying, Andrew Luck, he made them all look bad. It's like Andrew Luck told all the Titans players, now you get a book. You know.
He's handing out books post-game. Have you guys checked out the Merlin Chronicles lately? You should read this on the flight back.
Okay. Then I'd like to make a comment what I initially called in for. It's like the first drive that the Titans were going down when Marcus threw that interception. It's like, you know, every time that they throw the interception or, you know, he gets sacked, it's like he don't know how to come back from adversity. I mean, if he's a quarterback, he's got to get that out of his mind. I think it stays in his mind or something, because he have a hard time to me concentrate or trying to get the ball, you know, being consistent. So I think every time he gets sacked or you know, they light him up, he can't come back and bounce back, and that's a lot of the problems with the Titans team. That's why the inconsistency is there. So anyway, he's not a bad quarterback. He just got to get his confidence level up. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Rob.
I mean, how long to get the confidence level?
To me, the confidence couldn't be higher as kickoff happened.
Yesterday. What was the confidence issue going into that game after Dallas and New England?
That's the big disappointment, that you could play those two games, be as good as you were, be peaking, and go out there, and it was kind of like Indy just kind of played against plastic men.
I will defend Mariota on this, though, because I'm hearing from a lot of people who say, you know, Peyton Manning or great quarterbacks out there, they would play hurt. And when their team was struggling, they'd stick through it and stay out there and finish the game. And referencing Ben Roethlisberger and other quarterbacks, Marcus Mariota was taken out of the game. Mike Vrabel said as much. I don't know for sure that he... Well, we do know this. Vrabel said, Mariota said, I can still go. You can't just override your head coach and say, screw it, I'm playing, and run out there and get Blaine Gabbert out of the game. Check him out yourself. I mean, that was a coach's decision because of injury and the way he was playing, I think a combination of both, and the game getting out of hand, that they weren't going to play him. And that wasn't a Marcus Mariota decision.
Also, Amy on the sidelines yesterday, Amy Wells said that she was noticing him with the hand, you know, gripping the hand and things prior to that drive. So I don't know if the injury actually occurred on that hit or not. I think it worsened, but he was noticeably affected by the elbow, nerve, hand, whatever you want to call it.
Before that
drive. That was one of her reports.
It was clear after that one hit, though, that he was, I know the television crew was saying he's looking at his leg when he was sitting there with his legs on front, and I'm thinking, oh, no, he's not, because he was sitting there trying to get feeling in his hand. You mm-hmm. can see it over and over. He was moving his hand the same way after the Jacksonville injury or the Miami injury.
I think the hit that he took there on that sack, though, that's clearly the one where it didn't feel as great getting back up as the others, apparently. Let's go to Chris next up. Hey, Chris.
What's going on?
What's up?
Oh, just out here down in downtown picking people up with this lift, having a better day today than I did this weekend on any occasion, I tell you that. Was anybody surprised, honestly, like just from a fan aspect, like, take yourselves out of the situation of, like, you know, hosting a radio broadcast show mm-hmm. and just be a fan for a moment, like, and watching that game and watching the Titans' inconsistency this year. Were you surprised? Because I wasn't. I have been frequenting Midtown for my breakfast and coffee during these afternoon games for each of the games. And this week coming in to the Tennessee-Missouri game and the Tennessee Indianapolis game, I sensed like the Titans could beat Dallas and then beat Indianapolis, and I sensed the Vols could have beat teams like Auburn and Kentucky, and then they fall flat on their face and just don't show up, and it makes me sick, to be honest.
Well, and we'll discuss this, Chris. I think here was the sentiment of the theme of the show last week, coming off of a great win against New England. We all acknowledge that Indy was not going to be easy, averaging 29 points per game. We asked the question.
They were favored, too.
I mean, would the Titans need 30 points to win? I mean, that was a discussion we had last week. What I did not expect and what I allowed myself to believe is that the team would no-show again this season.
Correct. You did not anticipate that. I was laughing at us in my head. In the box for the 30-point conversation.
No, because I'm thinking the offense is hitting a stride. Mariota has never been healthier with this offense, and he's now taking the next step forward. He's confident again. We didn't see that. We didn't see the click. We didn't see the rhythm. And in this particular game, the other two phases didn't carry the team to victory or carry the team to the fourth quarter to allow a poor offensive performance to kick a field goal for the win and leave Indianapolis with a victory, even though he probably didn't play the best football for 3.5 quarters. This was all three phases let down yesterday.
I was surprised the level of beatdown. I was not surprised that it was an inconsistent performance. The Titans didn't play well. They didn't necessarily show up. I was not expecting that. That did surprise me.
A lot of people...
Them losing to the Colts wouldn't have been a surprise at all.
A lot of people
them losing like that
tweeting me, oh, yeah, they really graduated. I said, they graduated from growing pains. The growing pains excuse. It's clear they got over to growing pains. Yesterday was just crappy football. Didn't have anything to do with growing pains anymore. You can't use the growing pains excuse anymore when they played good offensive football in this scheme. Now, if you play offense like that, it's crappy football.
Someone says, I'm speaking like the loss is on Marcus Mariota. The truth is, you just talked about how the Ravens were run heavy. The Ravens are they're passing the football down the field with Joe Flacco. They're run heavy because Lamar Jackson can't throw the football very well. Marcus Mariota yesterday was not the same quarterback that we had seen the previous 2 weeks. Really, three weeks, if you count the Chargers game. It was a step backwards.
Yep.
And I will refuse to say after the season, oh, that, you know, the 38-10 loss where Mariota left at halftime. That game was over. That game was over at halftime. Let's go to Josh next up. Hey, Josh.
Hey, guys. I don't want to make any excuses for Marcus Mariota. We know we got problems there. We know we got problems in the secondary. Hell, I renamed my fantasy team the Malcolm Butlers because I keep it smoked. But I can't understand the offensive line and why no one's really talking about it. We got two first rounders, two undrafted free agents, and an older fourth rounder. We just gave big time money to Taylor Lewan. He's doing some turnstile acts out there. Am I missing something in an evaluation of Taylor Lewan, or is the rest of the offensive line just that bad where it's making him also look not that great? I know we've got other problems, but this offensive line, we got issues here.
He's not had a great season. I didn't think Lewan was a core issue yesterday. Thought the interior and Conklin didn't look. Conklin hasn't looked good to me overall. But the interior tends to be the root of the issue when they're bad, and it was the root of the issue again yesterday when they were bad.
Indy did a lot of stunts up front. Coach Mack was pointing it out throughout the first half that they were going to have to solve blocking Indy up front in the middle, or they were not going to be able to get going offensively. Look, the Titans need to attack the perimeter is the way he said it, and they didn't do that.
Here's the fact of the matter. This line, as currently constructed, was very good in 2016. DeMarco Murray had a hand in that, but it played very well in 2016. The Titans took that and said, we have a good offensive line. And they built for it, and it hasn't been very good since. Lewan is clearly a good player. He's not had a great season this year, I don't think. And the rest of the guys, Conklin included now, and we talked about this while you were gone, Chad. I think the ACL guy, be it no matter the position, generally doesn't get all the way back to himself until the second season back. But I also think he's not quite the scheme fit, kind of in the Derrick Henry thing. He's not the scheme fit. But the other three, it's time to do some revamping. And Mike Vrabel left open today the idea of Dennis Kelly playing guard.
While I agree that some of these sacks that are taken by Mariota, he can get rid of the football on and save yardage. Even if you agree with that, the quarterback is still getting hit on those plays. And sacked five times yesterday, and that's, yeah, of course that's too much. In the Baltimore game, sacked 11 times. Some of those plays, yeah, he could have thrown the football away. He's still getting lit up. And this is an offensive line that I know prides itself on protecting their quarterback.
Well, they're not doing it. They shouldn't have a lot of pride right now then, because they're not doing a good job of it this year. Yeah, but there's no other way around it.
They're as inconsistent as the team is right now.
Yeah.
What's the consistent unit?
I mean, what's the excuse other than just not playing up to par? I mean, and Paul, you talked about this. I like the accountability of Vrabel, But there comes a time where you can only say, boy, we got way out coached, before people start to turn around and say, why? Why are you getting out coached this badly, this many times? And I would say the same thing with the offensive line. Fix it. And if that's not fixable until the offseason because Ben Jones can't do his job anymore or because the other guards just aren't good enough. I know Quentin Spain is banged up with an ankle injury. Conklin and Luan, zero excuses. They need to be better, and the interior line needs to be much better. At some point, there's just no more excuses to be made for that offensive line.
And the questions I have always go back to going about how they're losing games. It's not being able to score a touchdown against the Buffalo Bills when you know the opposing offense doesn't have a quarterback or an offense that's going to go down and get 6 points.
Yeah.
That was it. They were not scoring a touchdown.
Also, the defense let down big time.
They didn't have to. Well, at the end of the game, they did.
Yeah.
But it was a game where they allowed 12 points. Go score a touchdown. Like, figure out a way to drive the football on the Buffalo Bills defense. Figure out a way to protect your quarterback against the Baltimore Ravens. Go game plan against Andrew Luck and find a way to create pressure instead of creating one pressure on 32 dropbacks.
And I will say, a couple weeks ago, I said
that is just a ridiculous stat.
5-5 with this schedule ahead of you. A couple weeks ago, I said would be all right. Then you were 5-4 with a win in New England in your pocket. So adjusting expectations based on what I see in front of me, I expect 6-4 then.
Well, it's not just 5-5. I think the assumption was lose to New England, beat Indy to get to 5-5, then you're okay because you're 3-0 in the division too.
Right.
So you feel better about that.
But when you're 5-4 having beaten New England, I expect you to go to Indianapolis and win.
When you're 5-4 after you were 3-4 and you have back-to-back wins against Dallas and New England.
I expect you to stack wins. Right. You're playing well. And at the very least, if you come back and you're 5-5, you lost it on a last-second field goal. You played a division rival tough on the road. To me, that's different. I'm sorry. To me, 38-10 is different.
It is.
Than 13-10.
It certainly is.
Or than 38-35.
And it's different because it would not be different to me, Paul. I would buy into a loss is a loss if this was the first time we'd seen that type of performance from this team.
Right. The Chargers loss.
We have routinely seen this performance with multiple coaching staffs in multiple times per season. And it's happened again this year.
And yes, I understand if we're being literal, it counts the same. It counts the same. But it doesn't give you the same feel going on to the next game.
No, it gives you no feel going to the next game because you don't know which team's going to show up.
And then they'll win next week and they'll say, see, I told you 38-10 didn't mean that much. I don't want to hear it.
The 3HL takes the handoff at 2. Now, more nonstop sports talk with the Midday 180 on 104.5 The Zone.
Day 180 served up by Wendy's. Back to the phones.
I want to like Weezer more.
Mary leads us off. Hey, Mary.
Hi, how are you?
Great. Wonderful.
Great. Thanks for taking my call. Maybe you commented on this earlier, but I'm surprised at the comments about Marcus Mariota when he's not getting any protection. Indianapolis was rushing 4, and Mariota was smothered in seconds. Isn't he among the most sacked quarterbacks in the NFL? And why isn't the offensive line getting some of the blame for that?
Well, the offensive line's getting plenty of the blame. The offensive line's been lousy when the Titans are at their worst, and it's a bellwether for how they're doing. But he needs to recognize some stuff better and get himself out of trouble more often and do more in the situations where he can.
Well, and the offensive line isn't throwing the ball right at Quincy Wilson for an interception that virtually ends the game at that point. I mean, he's making mistakes, too. It's not all on the offensive line. We just talked about it, in fact, Mary. They could be a lot better. Mariota needs to be a lot better, too.
We go next to...
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, thank you, Mary. Tyrikus, what's up?
Woo, boy, it's been a couple of days. I've been waiting, but I'm finally here.
Loaded lines, okay. Man, but thank you for waiting.
No problem. Okay, my question is this. What I've been worried about is, like, the New England game, the Patriot game, the Jags, and every other game that we won, it's like our team played way better with backup tackles. I don't know if it's the game plan, but every game we won, one of our tackles has been out, or both our tackles have been out. And I'm still thinking, is it the game plan different because you ain't got your starters in? And not only that, normally if you really watch the Titans play, every time it's a game that Marcus can't really get going on, he randomly gets injured. And I mean, I'm sure it's an injury that really happened, but it's like every game you see when the defense is tougher than the offense, it's like you out of nowhere see this guy, oh, got to take him out of the game, put in the next guy. All right, you guys be safe.
Yeah, thank you, Tyregus.
I think you're going a little crazy because Dennis Kelly, who is very good, has started two games. He started the Miami game, which the Titans lost, and he started the New England game, which the Titans won. Now, he was out of commission for a while, which would have meant Pamphile, who eventually got hurt. Let's see. Pamphile started the Houston game, which they won, and he started the Jaguars game, which they won. So there's four starts for backups, and they're 3-1. So that's pretty impressive, 3-1 in backup starts. And Pamphile certainly gave him a lot. Before he got hurt.
Titans have allowed 33 sacks. And Buffalo and Dallas have allowed 34.
And Merritt's also started that Houston game as well, so they had 2-1 game.
Indianapolis has allowed just 10 sacks on the year. Andrew Luck has not been sacked in 5 weeks.
5 weeks.
214 pass attempts.
And hit, there were no hits in this game. So he's been hit 9 times in 5 weeks. 9 times. Chad, do your 9 times
thing. 9 times. 9. 9 times.
That's ridiculously good protection.
You would not expect the offensive line that is led by left tackle, that's the highest paid offensive lineman in football, to be second to last in the league in terms of giving up sacks.
Find a way to go hit him. I don't care how much they're scheming protection and stuff. Find a way to hit him. If you can't find a way to hit him, cover.
Let's go to Steve next up. Hey, Steve.
Steven.
Hey, guys. Love the show.
Thank you.
So, you know, my thing is, I'm looking at Marcus. Mariota, please.
Thank you.
Chalk on the scratch board. anyway, let's compare him just for a second to Brett Favre or to Ben Roethlisberger. And both, I think, quarterbacks should have a great arm, you know, especially Brett Favre, known for throwing interceptions, known for being dynamic, but they make some mistakes now and then, but they've had great success doing that. What I see with Marcus is that he could well be that quarterback, but I'm concerned with the fact that through, as you guys just mentioned, multiple coaches, multiple changes, this team always seems to go back to the run to set up the pass, and we don't do well with that, nor does the rest of the NFL. And I'm wondering, what is the common denominator here that the Tennessee Titans can't let Marcus go out there and succeed or fail by throwing the ball? Like, let him go out there and let's be a Chiefs or a Rams type offense. And if he throws 20 interceptions, we answer our question about whether or not he's our quarterback.
Well, here's part of it. I think it's a great question. It's a great discussion. Part of it is they're afraid he gets hurt. And not just him, any quarterback. If your offensive line isn't protecting well enough and your weapons aren't able to get open often enough, you drop him back there that often and you're asking for him to get decked.
Fast-paced show today. Tomorrow, all the questions about the offensive line, we've got the guy in studio that can answer those questions for us. Blake Bedingfield will be here to scout what happened this past Sunday in Indy and then preview Monday Night Football. We will also have Logan Ryan on the show for the Logan Ryan Show, John McClain as well. Monday Night Football tonight. Big game. 2-9-1 teams. Enjoy it.
I'm taking the Rams.
Chiefs.
Give me the Chiefs.
Pat Mahomes. I'm taking him.
Hutton's guy.
Don't. Lock the box. Do lock the locks. Enjoy the game.
3HL's next, 104.5 The Zone.
Hey!